This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thank you so much for tuning in, and thanks for all of your tweets and Facebook messages, your posts on our page, describing your football team with the use of a TV line, a popular TV line, or the name of a TV show. Really good stuff. Absolutely love it. And we'll get to that as we head through this hour. We'll also take your phone calls. A lot of you lining up to talk about football. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We are going to get to the latest from Major League Baseball as we're now within 12, 13 games of the end of the regular season. And the playoff picture, while it's not taking shape quickly, the number of teams competing for division titles and wild cards is getting smaller. That little group, the pool, it's drying up. You got to find some water when you can. And so there's not much time left to make up ground. And so we'll give you the latest there. Really impressive what the Milwaukee Brewers have done to not just stay in the race, but to honor Christian Yelich, their reigning National League MVP, with some really dramatic home runs and big wins. And they're not throwing in the towel in any way, shape, or form. And so we'll see. Can the Pittsburgh Steelers do the same thing? I think with the leadership that they've got in the locker room, the veterans, plus Mike Tomlin, the experience that he's had, but to not have Ben Roethlisberger at all the rest of the way is a big blow. I know that Mason Rudolph has been in the system now for a year plus, and he's very confident. He's very confident. He's not Big Ben, but at least he believes he's ready to go.
It's kind of a sucky circumstance with, like I said, our leader and a good friend going down. But, you know, he would want me to step up and try, you know, lead the best of my ability, and that's what I've always believed in. That's what I'm going to do. So, you know, I'm just excited to get some more practice reps, right? So that'll be fun to kind of like go into a game and feel a little bit, you know, more rehearsed and prepared. And so, I'm excited. And like I said, I'm going to do what I've always done and step up to the plate.
Now, the Steelers haven't made any official statements yet. Mason Rudolph obviously has indicated that he's ready to step in for Ben Roethlisberger. The Steelers at some point will talk about the change at quarterback, but Mike Tomlin isn't going to give you anything except for supreme confidence. And he said on Sunday, we didn't change our offense at all, even though we had to change quarterbacks. It's just really, it's the wealth of experience. And I come back to that so often, but at that position, there really isn't a shortcut to navigating everything that you need to know and your progressions when you step to the line. I mean, even Baker Mayfield, who started most of last season, it was pretty obvious that Greg Williams had him confused for quite a while with the Jets' defensive looks. Now, it helps that Greg Williams is familiar with Baker Mayfield's tendencies and his strengths and weaknesses from the time he spent in Cleveland last year. But even a guy who's got, say, a year of starting experience under his belt, young quarterbacks are still adjusting to the different looks, the disguised looks they get from defenses. They're still adjusting to defenses, adjusting to them in the heat of the moment right before they take a snap. I mean, you know, people criticize Lamar Jackson for not being able to throw the football, but come on. I mean, we're talking about a quarterback who's trying to adjust to the speed of the game, and that often produces bad decisions, rush decisions, in some cases, maybe a little bit of panic. You're just nervous because things are happening so fast that it takes some time to adjust. And so Mason Rudolph may have all of the raw skills, but he has to be able to do it at the speed of light, essentially, the speed of the NFL, which almost every young player I've ever spoken to has said the speed of the game is the most difficult adjustment. And so Mason Rudolph will have to adjust, and he'll have to adjust quickly. Roethlisberger put out this statement I've been informed that I need season-ending surgery on my elbow to continue playing football at the level I expect. This is shocking and heartbreaking for me to miss this much of a season and feel like I'm letting down so many people. He says the Steelers committed 3 years to me this offseason. I fully intend to honor my contract and reward them with championship-level play. I will do all I can to support Mason and the team this season to help win games. I love this game, my teammates, the Steelers organization, and fans, and I feel in my heart I have a lot left to give. That is not the statement of a player who is half out the door. So there's always the speculation when Roethlisberger gets down or dejected or frustrated that he's not all in and doesn't want to play anymore anyway. That's a bunch of crap. And this type of an injury that takes away what you love very often reminds you how much passion you have for what you do. When it's taken away from you and you miss it, it completely changes your perspective. Ask Andrew Luck. Ask anybody who's had to sit and watch. I always say about injuries that as difficult as they are, especially for someone who's a star who never really sat on the sidelines and had to watch, maybe, you know, never really had to compete for a playing time or a position on a team, you don't get it. You take it for granted very often. But then an injury forces you to sit and watch. Not only do you see the game in a different way, but you're reminded just how blessed you are to have the opportunity and to be healthy. And so Ben Roethlisberger now is facing an extended period of time. Do you know in his career, he's never missed four consecutive games. So he's had injuries here and there, but very often Roethlisberger plays through them. I mean, he's built like a linebacker. And he gets hit a lot, obviously, and he absorbs those hits easier than other quarterbacks do. Cam Newton, I think, is the same situation. They don't often get as many calls as a smaller, slight quarterback because they look like they can take the hits. But he's played hurt a lot in his career. And now he faces the prospect of missing an entire year of football. Though we still don't have the specific details about the elbow surgery. But this will be the longest in his life he's ever been without football. And just like Drew Brees, it's going to eat him up. You come back with a completely different perspective and passion. And I believe that he will. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Strangely enough, the Steelers go out and trade. Why do I have hiccups again? What is going on? The Steelers go out and trade for Minkah Fitzpatrick. So he is headed to the Steelers from the Dolphins for a first round pick. And then they exchange some later round picks in progressive drafts. The Dolphins now have three first round picks and 2 seconds in the next draft. So they're kind of taking the route of the Oakland Raiders or the Cleveland Browns over the last couple of years. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help, and they can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. I realize I forgot to tell you my crazy old lady story, so I'll do that after our next break. I honestly thought she was going to hit me with something. Oh, we have an interview. I thought she was at 4:40. Okay, 4:20. So I'll tell you my story then right now because I promised that I would. Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com is going to join us. She has an early flight, and so she's going to join us next here on the show because we want to talk about OBJ and Baker Mayfield and Freddie Kitchens and, of course, the start to the NFL season for the Browns. So I was taking a train into New York City for a baseball game on Friday night. I went to see the Mets and the Dodgers and do some early scouting for October. Really cool atmosphere. It was a taste of some pre-fall weather. And so I was really excited. And I'm on the train, and it's a Friday afternoon. And if you've never been to New York City on a Friday afternoon, it's essentially a getaway day. The train system is jammed because people are leaving, they're commuting during rush hour, but also people are getting out of the city for the weekend or people are coming into the city for the weekend. It's insane. Navigating mass transit on a Friday afternoon should be an Olympic sport. And I'm always very impressed with myself when I can get out alive and get where I'm going. So on either side of the train, when you come into Penn Station, which is in the middle of Midtown Manhattan, there are platforms. And it's a guessing game. Depending on which side of the train you're on, you want to try to guess right that your side of the train, where the doors open up, will be on the side of the platform. Because if you don't, you're going to get stuck. You're going to get crushed behind dozens of other people. And as you pull into Penn Station, people start to get antsy and they get close to the doors. And then if you're on the wrong side of the train, the door opens on the other side. Then you feel like you have to fight through crowds. So there's this little old lady hunched over. She probably was half my size. So maybe 5 feet, but I don't even think she was 5 feet tall. And she was standing next to her cart that had multiple bags on it. So she had a luggage cart with multiple bags on it. And she was like rearranging stuff. And she also had a bag that she was carrying over her arm. And I was worried that she was going to get crushed by the mad like rush of people as we start pulling into Penn Station. And I realize that the platform is on the other side of the train from where she is. And I wanted to let her know and also offer to help her in case she needed it. Because there's usually a big gap between the train and the platform and her luggage cart. She was either going to have to lift it across or kind of drag it. And so I wanted to offer her some help, right? So she's kind of half turned away from me. And once I realize the platform is on my side of the train, I reach out with one finger and tap her on the shoulder. I swear to you, it's not like I touched her with my full hand, or I tapped her on the shoulder and said, ma'am. And she whirls around and, well, I can't repeat some of the language that she used because this is a family program. She starts cussing me out. This is a little old lady, like barely 5 foot nothing, hunched over with a bunch of gray hair and a big luggage cart. And she starts cussing me out. And at some point stops and is like, what are you doing? And I said, oh, I just wanted to let you know. I was trying to laugh, but I also was very taken aback. I was like, I just wanted to let you know that the platform's on this side of the train and I was going to help you. I'll help you, she said. And I was like, okay, thank you. And so I had my headphones in, but I turned my back to her because I was hoping that would end the conversation. Oh, no, no. She continued to yell at my back. Now, I couldn't hear it all again because I was wearing headphones. And I was a little bit worried about turning my back on her, thinking that she might have a knife stashed in there somewhere and was like going to come at me in my back and I was going to feel some pain. Anyway, she continued muttering swear words and cussing at me for the next 2 minutes until we pulled into the train station. I mean, I usually offer to help older people because I worry about them getting stuck or getting crushed. And yeah, no, I don't know that I'll ever do that again. She was not having it. She called me I can't repeat it on the show, but she called me something really nasty. Anyway, so I didn't laugh, but I did get out of there as quickly as possible. Anyway, I'm trying to be a good Samaritan, but it didn't work out so much with little old lady. Coming up next, she's not a little old lady. Mary Kay Cabot is a great reporter, will join us from New York. She's headed to Cleveland, but following Monday Night Football for Cleveland.com, she will be on the show live next. 855-212-4227. We'll get back to your calls, your Twizzler Tuesday responses. Thanks so much for joining us after hours here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Baker Mayfield is in the shotgun with Chubb at his side with the first and 10. Fakes the handoff. He throws to Odell. Beckham Jr. catches to the 25. Foot race to the 30. On the hash mark, the 40. Foot race to the 50. From the 40. On the numbers, the 30. Breaks the tackle, 20. Down the near sideline, 10. 5. Touchdown. Odell Beckham Jr., a quick hitter. 89-yard touchdown pass. Baker Mayfield to Odell Beckham Jr. in his return to MetLife Stadium.
We absolutely need to play better. I think that's the biggest thing, is not losing sight of that a win is a win, especially on the road, and we needed this one. But, you know, field goals early on, we'll take points, but at the same time, we need to be able to finish those drives. And so, yeah, we need to play better.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Kevin Harlan on the Westwood One Radio Network, and then Baker Mayfield, who said a lot of people are going to throw us in the trash after that season opening loss by 30 points. but they rallied to get their first win of the year on the road at MetLife Stadium. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We're pleased to welcome Mary Kay Cabot, who covers the Browns for Cleveland.com and also for the Plain Dealer. Mary Kay, there's a lot of different storylines coming out of this one on Monday Night Football, but how much do you think it meant to the Browns to win this game against Greg Williams, who was their interim head coach for a while?
Oh, I think it meant a ton. I was calling this the Alpha Dog Bowl. I mean, there was so much talk going into this game. Myles Garrett, Odell Beckham Jr., Demarius Randall, you name it. Then Greg shooting back at Odell. So, you know, there were a lot of egos. There was a lot of stuff going on. And I think absolutely 100% they came into this game really fired up to get some revenge.
So they did get the revenge, and they win by the 20 points against this Jets team that is very depleted and is down to its third-string quarterback. But also, how much did you see Greg Williams' familiarity with Baker Mayfield and the offense kind of making it difficult for them early on?
I thought Greg did a really, really nice job of frustrating this offense and sort of maybe even confusing Baker with some of the looks that he was giving him, you know, changing things up a little bit pre-snap and whatnot. They were hitting these guys really hard, and I do think that Baker started to get somewhat frustrated in this game. I thought Odell did too, to a degree. And then comes the big play, and that changed everything. And in a game like this, when their offense couldn't do anything, that's all they really needed.
What was the reaction inside MetLife Stadium when Odell went 89 yards for the touchdown?
It was a stunner because it was, you know, it was the first play of the drive. So, I mean, people all of a sudden looked up and there was Odell dashing down the field for an 89-yard catch and run. I mean, it was just spectacular. And he had just left the, he had just left the field early at halftime with cramping. And no one really knew exactly what was going on with him. And then, you know, we weren't sure if it was the hip or what. So then he comes back, and there he was, flying down the field at a faster rate of anybody else in the NFL that has scored a touchdown this year.
Mary Kay Cabot with us. Are you at the airport this morning?
I am at the airport, yes.
I love it. Headed back to Cleveland, but covers the Browns for Cleveland.com with us here After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for making some time for us. I really appreciate it. From your perspective, you've obviously covered the Browns for a long time. There have been some lean years, a 1-31 stretch, a lot of coaching changes, a lot of front office changes. What's it like to cover this group of guys with so many different personalities?
Well, it's fun, and I'm going to have some noise back here. Sorry about that. But it's a lot of fun. I mean, there's always a lot of chatter and noise coming out of Cleveland, no matter whether they're winning or losing. But you know, this goes along with an opportunity to actually win some games, maybe win the AFC North now with Big Ben being out for the year. This has some juice to it.
We know that Baker Mayfield has talked about feeling dangerous, and you get that defiant kind of attitude from Freddie Kitchens too. The whole idea that if you're not wearing brown and orange, you're dead to me, or you don't matter, or whatever it was that he said specifically. But what would you say is the prevailing attitude of this locker room?
Well, you know what? It's that. It starts at the top. It's us against the world. It's these guys, you know, pulling together, and they have a toughness about them. I think that's something John Dorsey wanted to instill in this football team. I think he wanted to ramp up the toughness factor. And they did that. But in the first game, they didn't couple it with, being smart. They got so many dumb penalties in that game. So I think they're trying to dial it back a little bit. Not the toughness part of it, but just adding in some composure and playing in a disciplined fashion. Now, I don't know if you can honestly say that Myles Garrett did that tonight, but for the most part, I think they're trying to play tough, smart football, and it starts with Freddie and John.
Well, they did cut their penalties in half, so they went from 18 to 9 and 85 yards of penalties against New York on Monday night. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio with Mary Kay Cabot, who is at the airport headed back to Cleveland. When you think about the strengths of the team, what would you say are their strengths as a group of young guys who've been brought together for the purpose of kind of changing their station in the NFL?
Well, you know, I think the strengths of the team kind of showed up tonight. Myles Garrett with his 3 sacks, Odell Beckham Jr. with his, you know, 89-yard TD catch and run. I mean, I think that it's, you know, it's pretty evident that, you know, it's a strong defensive line and it's a really, really strong receiving core. And then Baker Mayfield, now he did struggle some tonight, and he's going to, you know, teams are going to look at that film and try to do some of the same things that Greg Williams did tonight. Now Greg knows him very well, and so we have an advantage there to be able to do that. But I think that's, you know, some of the strengths are, again, receiving core, defensive line.
So what happened to OBJ's watch?
Well, you know, all of a sudden it became more about the visor than the watch. And then we went from watch gate to visor gate. You know, I guess he just decided, and maybe Freddie probably had a conversation with him and said, we're not going to do anything to take anything away from the team or distract the team. That's my guess, because the Browns had been warned that he couldn't wear it. So he flashed it around a little bit in pregame warm-ups, but then when it came time to go out and play the game, he didn't have it on.
You know, it's interesting, Mary Kay. We talk so much about young quarterbacks and adjusting to the position, and there are a lot of young guys, even a rookie kicker on the team. And yet not a lot is made of the fact that Freddie Kitchens also has to adjust to being a head coach for the first time ever. Now, you've covered other guys who were first-time head coaches. The Browns seem to hire many of them over the course of, I don't know, the last decade or so. They went through a bunch of them. How do you feel like he's adjusting to the responsibilities of being a head coach?
I think he's adjusting to them okay. I mean, I don't think the debut was what he would have wanted, obviously. I mean, it's not, it, you know, it comes back. It's a reflection on your head coach when you have 18 penalties for 182 yards. Mm. Something got lost in the translation there, apparently. But, you know, they regrouped pretty well for this game. And, you know, he pulled it together. But, you know, also they were playing against a third-string quarterback. This Jets team is depleted. C.J. Mosley wasn't out there. Quinnen Williams wasn't out there. Sam Darnold. So I don't know that they should be getting, you know, too ahead of themselves. I think they need to take a critical look at this film and realize that there were some serious problems in this game that could show up next week when they host the Rams on Sunday Night Football. They've got a grueling schedule coming up over these next few weeks. And, you know, and I think that they really need to kind of go back to the drawing board on some things.
Probably not anything they would say publicly, but from your time covering the team and being around them, what are their expectations for the 2019 season?
Oh, I absolutely think the expectations this year were to win the AFC North and go as far into the playoffs as they possibly could. Now, maybe they didn't think they were going to get to the Super Bowl this year, but they definitely want to get to the postseason and start making some noise there.
It certainly is a wide-open division, as you point out. Obviously, the Baltimore Ravens, the defending champs in the AFC North, but no Ben Roethlisberger the rest of the way for the Steelers. The Bengals are kind of in no man's land as they rebuild, so seems like a perfect opportunity. Is it fun to cover a team that's got a lot of potential, shall we call it?
Yeah, it is. It's fun. There's just so much going on. and you know, every day there's three or four different stories. I can barely keep up with them on any given day. There's lots of colorful personalities. They like to talk. Freddie lets them talk, lets them be themselves. And, you know, they have just captivated the hearts of this city. So I'm glad for the fans that they got the win tonight and they can kind of get excited about this again.
Mary Kay, before I let you go, Chris Smith decided to play on Monday Night Football against the Jets. How's he doing? What has he had to say about the loss of his girlfriend, the mother of his child?
Well, the team really rallied around him and, you know, played hard for him. And Myles Garrett had some really poignant things to say about how Chris gave a speech to the team, and it really helped them kind of get their game faces on about how you just never know when it's your last play, your last day of life. So, I think he was an inspirational force for the team tonight.
It's good to see him out there on the field. So you can follow Mary Kay on Twitter at Mary Kay Cabot. You can read her on Cleveland.com. I see her on TV pop up now and then, longtime insider for the Browns and giving us a few minutes from the airport. So safe travels, Mary Kay. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Thanks for having me, Amy.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
His heroics made us swoon this weekend.
I'm the best ever.
I am the greatest.
Now it's time to name the After Hours Monday MVP.
Let's try to keep this drive going. Mahomes throwing left, wide open to Marcus Robinson. Inside the five, touchdown, Kansas City. Oakland sends four on the rush. They drop seven. Mahomes deep. He wants McCole Hardman in the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. There's your third and 20 play. A deep post to McCole Hardman for his first National Football League touchdown. 14-10 Chiefs, second and 17 Mahomes. Damian Williams, right halfback, pressure. Floating a pass, Kelsey near side, over the shoulder, makes the catch in traffic. Touchdown, Kansas City. Mahomes, his third touchdown pass in as many weeks. Now he's going to gun it long. He wants DeMarcus Robinson coming back to the ball. He's got it in the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. DeMarcus Robinson, it's his turn to have the game of his life. And the Chiefs have four consecutive touchdowns, and Mahomes is in a human acetylene torch.
We were just hitting on the plays. I mean, it was the same game plan as we kind of stayed at the same game plan, called the same plays. We hit on them in the second quarter, and we missed them in other parts in the game. And so, I mean, we had a great quarter, but as an offense, it was too much sloppiness, I guess you would say. We weren't being efficient as we usually are.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Strange phenomenon for the Kansas City Chiefs in moving to 2-0, beating the Oakland Raiders on the road. They only scored in the second quarter. Very odd. And yet, whatever works, a win is a win is a win is a win. And your choice for Monday MVP this week, the player of the week, that's brought to you by Grainger. So let's take a look at the stats from the reigning NL MVP. It is Pat Mahomes with 278 yards passing in one quarter, that being the second quarter alone, and the Chiefs score on four consecutive possessions as they down the Raiders in the Bay Area to move to 2-0. They ended up with, as usual, gaudy numbers overall. The total number of yards for them, 464, and the passing yards for Mahomes, 433. They just have this uncanny ability to pick you apart. And for Pat Mahomes, who's only really in his second full year, to be able to do what he is doing, the vision, the poise, obviously the ability to extend plays, to create on the fly, it's amazing. I mean, he's so much fun to watch. Really has added quite a jolt to the NFL. The player of the week brought to you by Grainger. Grainger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it at Grainger.com. Keeping in mind with the Chiefs that they do not have their top receiver in Tyreek Hill. He was on the sidelines on Sunday with his arm in a sling. And while they have added LeSean McCoy, they didn't have a lot of success running the ball. They actually, as Pat Mahomes pointed out, they didn't have a ton of success, not the kind of success that they would like to have on all of their drives. Instead, they just ended up cashing in on those four in the second quarter, but really elsewhere, kind of felt like they left a lot of opportunities out there on the field. Only 31 yards rushing, but had great success in picking apart the Oakland secondary. DeMarcus Robinson, by the way, stepping up. Same thing with Travis Kelce without Tyreek Hill. Sammy Watkins, who had three touchdowns in the first week, had a handful of catches, a half dozen catches against the Raiders. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. We're asking you about a TV show or a TV line that you think best describes where your team is right now in the NFL or college seasons, but both are in their first month. Again, 855-212-4227 on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page. And some of you are cracking me up. You're sending me GIFs. You're definitely coming up with unique answers like this one from Justin. Thanks to Kellen Moore's scientific approach to offense, I'd say Big Bang Theory describes the Cowboys. We actually have Dak Prescott on our fantasy team. And by our, I mean my mom's husband and I. We have fun talking fantasy every week. And so Dak Prescott has been moved into our starting lineup, replacing Russell Wilson, which is a difficult decision because Russell also had a fantastic game on Sunday. Thanks for caring. I know no one cares about my fantasy team. Let's talk to Matt, who's in Jacksonville, Florida. Matt, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Absolutely. I kind of a twofold question. One, obviously, I'm very the lead. It's going to be Jalen Ramsey. But in reference to this 2 days from now, how do you see us against the Titans? With us being at home, have that. I think.
Do you think he just got nervous and hung up? Because that didn't seem like it was a lost connection to me.
No, it sounded like he got very nervous.
Like he was waiting for me to jump in, and I was waiting for him to finish his question. And so I was waiting patiently, and just he decided that it was too quiet on the other end of the phone. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio and on Facebook. Thanks so much for weighing in. Roberta says on Facebook, my team is the Patriots. Theme song from the show Cheers, where everybody knows your name. She says, by the way, she's from New Hampshire, to Roberta from the Seacoast. Thanks so much for tuning in, Roberta. It's good to hear from you. Joe says on Facebook, we're going to need a bigger boat. And he's describing the Dolphins. Oh, my gosh. I know often in sports it gets worse before it gets better, but if you're an athlete and you only have a limited number of years, do you really want to spend one with a team that is in so entrenched in rebuild mode that it's going to be a painful season? I mean, that's the hard part, is that you know what's happening. And yes, you're thrilled to be playing a game and to be earning a paycheck doing what you love. But at the same time, you know there are only so many opportunities to win games and try to make the playoffs. And it's hard enough in the AFC East as it is. So now coaching change and all kinds of personnel changes in the locker room, different quarterbacks. Just, it's rough. I can understand. Let's see. On Facebook, Jared says, good times, the Baltimore Ravens. Let's see. A lot of you are using older TV show titles, which I love. Jerry says on Facebook, Purdue football is MASH. We had one Eagles fan earlier say ER for his team. William on Facebook, the Oakland Raiders, Mission Impossible. Jason says the Redskins equal Growing Pains. Oh my gosh, one of my favorite shows when I was a kid. I loved Growing Pains. Brian is listening in D.C. Welcome to After Hours.
Good morning, Amy. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Oh, yeah, my name is Brian. I'm calling from D.C. about my beloved Redskins.
Okay.
They are definitely the walking dead head.
No, come on. It's not really that bad, is it?
I don't even know where to begin. Is it management? Is it the owner? I can't even blame the players at this point because I've seen this for over 20-plus years.
Yeah.
And nothing's going to change.
I don't know that nothing is going to change. Like, for instance, the Cowboys fans get really ticked off about their meddling owner and who also serves as the GM and who often is so involved in things. And Dan Snyder definitely has some strange ideas and is very involved. But I don't know that you can pin it all on him. I mean, he spends money on contracts very often that make you scratch your head and they seem kind of crazy. But, you know, it's his money. I mean, the idea that they have some talent and that they could make some noise in the NFC East, I really think that they could. The issue, of course, is quarterback for them. Well, that's one issue, is quarterback. And then really the weapons on that side of the ball are supremely lacking. But I mean, Dwayne Haskins, I feel like, will be a good option. And if he can grow up there with the Redskins and they can put some people around him, they've hit with injuries at the running back position. And So, yeah, I mean, I don't think all hope is lost, but I definitely understand why you feel like it would be The Walking Dead.
Well, thank you for taking my call, Amy. You have a great day.
Thanks, Brian. You too. Yeah, it's no man's land would be another way that I might describe the Redskins. I don't feel like it's a season in which they're rebuilding. They're just kind of stuck because the quarterback that they brought in to be the guy kind of bridge the gap, and Alex Smith is out. And, I mean, you just hope at this point that he can become completely healthy again. So then they bring in Case Keenum, who is he's a starter in the league. He's starting actually for his third consecutive different team in three different years. He's not going to go out there and light the world on fire, I don't think. I mean, I think with the Minnesota Vikings, that was kind of an aberration. But if he can not turn the ball over, at least keep defenses honest. The Darius Geis injury sucks. I mean, they had high hopes for him. I mean, Adrian Peterson is still going out there and absorbing hits and churning up yardage. But he can't be your featured top weapon on offense. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know that they have enough talent on the offensive side of the ball, but I do think that Dwayne Haskins can be really good. I think their defense can be tough and physical. I don't know about Jay Gruden. That's a question that I ask every year. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Pete says on Twitter, the Bengals equal lost. I love the show Lost. Until the end. Do you know, we did this topic not that long ago, sometime this summer. The TV series finale that ruined the show for you, and Lost was that for me. I loved it, but the freaking finale ruined it for me. The ending was awful. Another tweet, Carolina Panthers lost in space, as the robot said, warning. Yeah, so make sure that you tell me what team it is that you're tying to a TV show. I can't guess. Brian says on Twitter, Miami Dolphins, the Wonder Years.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.